Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, it's Pete Dillon. You are on Cravings here on Joy 94.9, and we are going to be talking all about events and things that are happening today right here on the station. Stick with me. We're covering all sorts of things from organics to Pinot Noir. Stay with me. Hello, yes, we are talking cravings because it's 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. That's what we like to do. Thank you to the lovely team on Techno Gaze for taking us for a wander through all things technological this last week, all of the technological news. Clearly, I'm not a technological person because I can't even use that word. Thank you also to Maddie T for the news and the team from Saturday Magazine. And, of course, Beck on Breakfast. They've got our day started very, very well. And it is a grubby day outside here in Melbourne, a very grubby day indeed. It's cloudy, it's overcast. But, look, I wanted to take you through... It's spring, and when things happen in spring, new life springs forth, all of that sort of stuff. There's baby lambs running around paddocks, and it's a good time to sit back and reflect on what we do and what we eat and who we are and what sort of events we can do and what we can go to. So we're going to cover a whole bunch of things today. We're going to call in to Pinopalooza, happening right here in Melbourne today, of course, happening in Sydney on Monday and then Brisbane next weekend. It's a celebration of all things Pinot Noir from Australia and New Zealand. I believe 150 thereabouts Pinot Noirs to taste. So that'll be all very lovely. We'll call into them very shortly and check out how it's all looking. We will also be speaking a little later about some Oktoberfest events, because yes, it's October, my birthday tomorrow. You can all clap your hands and sing happy birthday. Thank you very much. And we will be, of course, talking to Hofbräuhaus and probably the European Beer Cafe as well, just about what they're doing for Oktoberfest. Other things happening, of course, today is the kickoff to National Organic Week. It's actually a bit longer than a week. We're going to go for, I think, 9 days from now until the 13th of October. And it's a good chance for you to understand and get a knowledge of all things organic. Yes, organic. Organic is good for you. And I have somebody ready to join me straight away on the phone. Her name is Kathy Kogo. She is an organic spokesperson from, I believe, a gathering of organic people. Kathy, good afternoon. Oops, we've lost Kathy. We'll try again in just a second and see if we can get hold of Kathy. In the meantime, we've got a track right here. This will get you in the mood for a bit of spring, ladies and gentlemen. The track is called 5 Years' Time. It is from the lovely folk at Noah and the Whale. It's a nice, fun tune. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I do. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
It's Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 13 minutes past one on a very murky Melbourne day. And that track you heard, Noah and the Whale, it is called 5 Years' Time because it's fun, fun, fun. And, of course, we do love a bit of fun here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. That's what we are intending to have over this next 45 minutes. And we're kicking off with some organics. That's right. We're going to be talking organics because it is National Organic Week. And Kathy Kogo is an organic spokesperson. She joins me on the phone. Kathy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. afternoon.
Let's start with what organics is, because I think there is some misconception in the market that people seem to think that organic, it can be an overused term and quite often with not the necessary accreditation. Walk us through what accredited organic actually means.
Organic means that a business has met the standards that we have. It's about a 100-page booklet that just describes the rule book, essentially, for anyone wanting to be certified organic. To be certified organic, you need to not only not use synthetic pesticides, chemicals and things like that if you're growing food and fibre, but the practices need to also be organic and right through to the retail sector. If a retailer wants to be certified organic, it also needs to go through some rigmarole, some hoops, if you like, and meet those standards, which means, you know, again, it comes down to the non-chemical and things like that. It's a three-year process for most businesses to become certified organic, and that includes lots of audits and random audits as well, so regular ones and random ones. So it's quite a long process, and it's quite thorough, and this happens each year of their certification.
Okay, sorry, I don't want to jump in, but businesses need to each year be recertified as organic to ensure that those processes all have remained in place?
No, they need to just make sure that they pass their auditing processes. So they get audited each year, and they just need to make sure that that's all covered off and that they're meeting all of those standards that are applied within the Australian Certified Organic Standards Book. Organic doesn't just mean that it's free of synthetic chemicals and pesticides. It also means that that product is cruelty-free. It means it's GM-free. It also means that it's there's so many things around, you know, just sustainable production and things like that. And animal welfare is a big one. It's a big pillar of the organic standards, and so is sustainability. So it means it must be produced in a sustainable way that's, you know, looking after the land and things like that. It's free range as well by its very nature. So there's a lot of, you know, things built into organics that you also see outside of the organic label. But, if you just look for the Australian Certified Organic Bud label, you're getting something that is GM-free, it's cruelty-free, it's free-range, it's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, the whole gamut.
So it's not been interfered with at all, therefore it has gone through a process of growing that is considered natural as much as it is organic.
That's right, yep.
Kathy, what's the difference between something that is certified as organic and something that is biodynamic?
Now, they can both be certified as plain organic, if you like. A biodynamic production often involves, it's a bit more spiritual than straight organics, and the biodynamic producers work a lot more with the moon cycles and planetary cycles and things like that. So there's a lot more of a, I suppose, a philosophy around growing and producing that biodynamic farmers rely on. They use preparations like 500 BD and things like that to apply to pastures or to help animals get better. They might use a lot more homeopathics and things like that. So it's a bit of a spiritual sort of concept, if you like. Organic farming is straightforward. We just eliminate chemicals. We make sure that we're growing animals in a humane way, and it meets the standards. They might not necessarily have the spiritual backing that the biodynamic sector does have.
Mm-hmm. Kathy Kogo is my guest. She is from Australian Organic, and today kicks off 9 days. We're calling it Organic Week, but it kicks off 9 days of a focus on organics. We'll be speaking next week to Pete Evans. He's one of the ambassadors for the Australian Organic Week, and we'll talk to Pete next week, along with Gavin Baker, who's from Little Hunter. They're opening a new venue, so sorry to dump that in on you, Kathy. He is one of the ambassadors for Australian Organic Week. So we've gone for a bit of a walk through what is organic and what is biodynamic. So what is the focus of your organisation, Australian Organic? Do you act as a parent body for producers, or do you work with industry? What's your organisation do?
Australian Organic exists to support our members and clients and to promote organics throughout Australia and educate people about what organics means and the benefits of organics. Within Australian Organic, we have the certification arm, which is that body that I've been talking about, Australian Certified Organic. So that's the certifying body of Australian Organic. And that's what most of you will be familiar with. You'll be familiar with that BUD logo that accompanies Australian Certified Organic. That's on most of the certified organic products you'll see on the shelves. Australian Organic is the parent company, if you like, and so we sit behind the scenes and support clients and support our members. We're a membership organisation as well, promoting organics.
For sure. Now, it's not just food products that are considered organic. I know there are some, there are wines that are targeting them or actually pitting themselves as organic wine, along with the biodynamics, which we talked about before, people dancing under the cycles of the moon and that sort of thing. Where is the best place to buy? Can we buy organic at our supermarket when we do a weekly supermarket shop for those that use supermarkets? Or is it best to head to a farmer's market or something along those lines?
You can pick up organics anywhere now. Most purchases, we know from our previous research, are done from supermarkets because we're seeing some of the major retailers now stock organics in a big way. In fact, Woolworths has been quoted saying that its macro organic range is one of the fastest lines and it can't keep up with demand and is trying to encourage more suppliers. So you can definitely get it at your big retailers. Just, again, look for the Bud logo and make sure it's certified if it's calling itself organic.
Yep.
Obviously, you can also pick it up at your farmer's markets. You can pick it up at health food shops and things like that. And like you say, it's not just food and it's not just drink, but it's also cosmetics, it's also fibre. So a lot of these, I suppose, conventional products, if you like, use a growing method or a processing method that involves synthetic chemicals and different ways of growing and ethos towards producing those materials. And again, if it's organic, then it's not tested on animals. It uses natural ingredients in it and things like that. So it's all it doesn't just apply to food and fibre. You can sort of find it organic applying to a lot of things that you might put on your skin or wear and things like that.
Kathy, is it fair to say that to have an organic diet or to try and focus on having organics is very much a large part of your diet, that we're eating the way that at the risk of sounding a bit silly, that the cavemen used to eat? So it's almost a paleolithic way of eating, if we're eating food that is organic, that hasn't been genetically modified, that doesn't have hormones or any sort of unnecessary additives, antibiotics, any of those sorts of things, that we're actually eating a far healthier diet and that's better for us?
Oh, look, I would argue you are, of course. I wouldn't say it takes us back too many years, though. I think just organic food and fibre is just the way that we're supposed to be farming. It's the food we're supposed to be eating. It's the way animals are supposed to be produced. There's no reason to, be supporting industries that are using inhumane methods and things like that. So if you're supporting organics that does that, it's respectful for the environment. It's respectful to your bodies and animals as well. So it's the whole gamut. I think it's quite mainstream now, so I think it's organic food is the way it's supposed to be, and I guess the way that the industries and our societies have developed, it has become a bit left of field, if you like, and suddenly it became the strange way of producing food and fibre, but it's certainly not the way it is now.
And Kathy, what sparked your interest? How did you get involved with the organic industry?
I suppose it's been a philosophy of mine. I'm a journalist by trade. It's always been an interest.
We journalists. We journalists.
That's right. And, we are interested in particular things. And I guess I streamed off into sustainable agriculture. And I, got the journalism degree and worked as a journalist. I also studied sustainable agriculture because my heart was in farming and production. And now it's about, we can do good or we can do bad, I think, and we can contribute to the world or we don't. And I think, I've chosen a career that I think contributes to the world and makes it better for plants, animals and people. I live an organic lifestyle and it's just the only way I could live, really. So.
Kathy Kogo from Australia.
Really.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bump into you there. Kathy Kogo from Australia Organic is my guest. Kathy, you just talked about living an organic lifestyle. Is it more expensive to live an organic lifestyle for those that are considerate of their finances and their budget? Is it more expensive, or do we just have to spend a little bit more time in trying to determine where is the best place to find what's good for us?
Yeah. We think it's the real cost of real food. That's all it comes down to. It's the real cost of doing real business and, treating animals well and the land well and ourselves well. So, yes, it costs more, generally speaking. You might be aware that Suncorp issued a press release some months ago highlighting the cost or the extra cost of organic food and fibre if you consumed a strictly organic diet and how much that would add to the budget at the end of the week. I don't think we've got a choice, really. I mean, what else are you going to eat? And what else are you going to feed your children? We've really got to think about quality food and make priorities. Like you say, it's also a matter of prioritising. Do you really want to buy all those extra ice creams and that processed food? Having said that, organic food is also processed.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you want to make sure that it's free of all the synthetic stuff. It's just prioritising. So my advice to people is to Friends of the Earth issued a report not that long ago highlighting some of the foods that have been found to have higher residue levels. And this was collated from Australian government research. And, you know, if you looked at the top, say, five fruit and vegetables, you could start by at least buying organic fruit and vegetables. So I think strawberries are up there. You've probably got your peaches and nectarines on the stone fruits that might have high residues. So, look, if you just started with some of those fruit and vegetables that registered highly on that residue list and replaced them with organic food, you're making a massive start. And that's really what you should be caring about as well, is how to integrate it into your life and do it step by step. You don't have to go the whole gamut. Just start a little bit and see what your priorities are.
And I guess incrementally add to your diet as you go along. Kathy Kogo is my guest. Kathy, one last question. If people would like to know more about your organisation and how they can start to live a more organic lifestyle, how would they find out where you are?
We have a web address, AustOrganic, that's AUSTorganic.com. That is getting updated, so yeah, but you can have a look around there and see what might be in there that might help you. We're always willing to help people if they want to give us a call and yeah, just speak to some of your retail as well. They're usually pretty honed on organics and what it means and the benefits of it. So just start asking questions when you're shopping. Maybe look for your health food shop and start asking questions there and see what you care about. So, yeah, there are different ways to get into it. And look out for us. We're often getting out there in the media and putting some information out there to make it accessible for people.
Terrific.
And you can also sign up to our Facebook page.
I was about to go to the social media. Do you Facebook? Do you tweet?
We do. We Facebook and we tweet Australian Organic.
Okay, so people can hunt for them in their favourite search engine, in their social media sites. Kathy, really grateful for your time today to give us a bit of an understanding of what organics is. It is Organic Week. It runs from now until the 13th of October, a good time to perhaps reassess your diet and your shopping and your way of life to see if you can live more organically. Kathy, thank you.
Pleasure.
Good on you. That's Kathy Kogo. She is from Australian Organic, and I think it's probably a very good time as we move into spring and we start thinking about eating a little differently because different things are in season, that it might be a very good time to perhaps determine whether organics can fit into your budget and into your lifestyle. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Very shortly we will speak to the team at the Hofburg House about some of their Oktoberfest events because, of course, as we move into October and into spring, it is a good time to be thinking about beer because it's really beer weather. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I'm Pete Dillon, and it's currently about 27 minutes past one.
Joy 94.9.
Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. That's off the album Abbey Road, which is older than I am, I think, or close to being as old as I am because, of course, tomorrow being... Oh, look, it's a little bit of a big day. I'm having a birthday tomorrow. You can wish me happy birthday. 0427 joy 949. You can send a text message. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300 joy 949, or you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. It is a little bit of a festival of me, and it also is, of course, a festival that happens around the world. Every year, it started in Germany. I believe it still goes in Germany, and it's a fairly big thing in Munich. But we're bringing a little bit of Munich to you right now because Oktoberfest, it's a celebration of all things October, all things beer. And Chris is joining me from Hofburg House right here in Melbourne because they probably celebrate as good or better than most. Chris, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, mate. Well, thanks for joining me.
For tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping to hear a bit of an Oompa band in the background, but I guess it's a little early for that.
Yeah, it is a little bit early for that, yeah.
Mate, talk us through what you're actually doing for Oktoberfest before we come back and talk a bit more about the venue.
Look, we try to keep it as traditional as possible, so we basically stay in touch with all things, basically Oktoberfest, good music, good food, good times. You know, we basically do the regular thing week in, week out, but we sort of up the ante a bit. You know, we have some extra games going on, some entertainment. We have a big closing party, which the winner of the games gets return tickets to Munich for the Oktoberfest next year.
You're saying games. Talk to me about what's the games? What's going on there?
Just a bit of good times. You know, we have a few different games from, you know, eating competitions or a few relays and, you know, some drinking competitions, which we obviously use non-alcoholic beer, of course, here.
Yes, right.
But, you know, we just have a bit of fun here and give people a good time, sort of let them cut loose and, you know, sort of give them a bit of experience in the beer hall that is much like the Oktoberfest itself in Munich.
Chris, I'm assuming you've actually spent an Oktoberfest or two in Munich?
I have spent many of Oktoberfests in Munich. It's actually my dad's birthday on the opening of Oktoberfest, and it's something that he used to use with his friends to, you know, sort of meet up once a year and have a big celebration. And so I spent many a years in Oktoberfest myself.
And so let's remind people, first of all, where Hofbräuhaus is.
It's in Market Lane,
yep.
Just off Burke Street up near Chinatown, in Chinatown, actually.
Which is basically, I can see you from our radio studio here on Level 9 at 225 Burke Street. So you're within my eyesight there, mate.
Oh, there you go.
Which means that I'm very close to call by for a beer once
we're
done.
Well, it is your birthday, so we'll happily invite you down for a stein if you like.
That'll be brilliant, but I have two children with me today. So Hofbräuhaus, it's the only German restaurant of its kind in Melbourne.
Yes.
And you've been established, well, I can tell you how many years have been established. You started in 1968.
That's right, that's when it opened.
Which is the same year that I was established.
Wow, well done.
So 45 years in Melbourne, that's a fairly lengthy time. Give us a bit of an idea of what Hofbräuhaus is like. For those that haven't been, sort of talk us through what people could expect when they arrive. Because I know you've got a couple of different areas and you specialise in a few things. Talk to us about the venue.
The actual venue itself is, originally in 68 when Hofbräuhaus opened, it was more of a restaurant-style atmosphere, which is the original Hofbräuhaus, which we took over about 3 years ago. Since then, we've evolved and opened an Alpine bar next door and a beer hall, which is much more of a modern contemporary-style Bavarian beer hall-style atmosphere, a lot more casual.
Yep.
It's become quite a cult with the German backpackers that come and work here. So you're going to get a lot of Bavarian German staff, especially in the kitchen on the floor. So you're getting a very, very traditional experience when you come here.
Is there anybody wearing lederhosen?
Me, myself, and 90% of our staff, yeah. We're all wearing the lederhosen and the dirndls. We're all in our traditional get-up.
Sorry, the lederhosen and the which?
And the dirndls, which the females wear.
All right.
So we're all in our traditional get-up, and, like, you know, all of our staff pretty much know the culture inside out, and that's what gives it that sort of, I guess, rustic feel.
So when you talk about German food, what sort of food can people expect when you're... you're eating at Hofbräuhaus?
You don't expect any small meals. We do everything big beers, big food. We give, I think it's a good, honest meal, much like the traditional, you know, German sort of Bavarian-style food, which is very farmer-orientated in that sense. You know, you get your big pork knuckles, your sausages, your schnitzels, your bellies, you know, with all the traditional dumplings, sauerkraut, huge portions, basically.
Look, it sounds absolutely magnificent. It sounds completely up my alley, that's for sure. I want to talk a little bit about what Oktoberfest is all about. You said you've been there and was there as a kid. What's the purpose of Oktoberfest? Why does it happen every year?
Look, traditionally it started basically with the farmers celebrating their crops and all the rest of it, bringing in, showing off their hops and all the rest of it. On their horse and carriages and saying, you know, this brewery has now bought this hops, they've got that. You know, everyone basically showing off the quality of their beer because that's what it's all about in Bavaria, you know, the quality of their beer, basically. And it started off as a celebration. And the reason why it is called Oktoberfest is traditionally it was in October, but they brought it back to September because of weather conditions. So that's why the opening is in mid-September. Because the weather was a bit ordinary in October, so they sort of brought it forward a few weeks just to make sure that the outdoor event, an example, every big brewery gets to show off their tents and their beers and, you know, the atmosphere and the good times, basically.
And how big is it? How many people would gather in Munich through Oktoberfest?
Wow, it's probably changed a bit there. That's huge. I know most tents fit 20-odd thousand people, I believe. I'm not sure exactly how many people fit, but I know it is a very big event.
Wow, that's a lot of people, and that's, I guess, a lot of beer.
And there is a lot of beer involved, and there is party tents, but there's also a lot of family tents and all the rest of it, you know, which in, for example, today we're celebrating Family Day, where the kids eat free and face painting and all things like that, and, you know, so lunchtime is all about families, so And much like at the Oktoberfest, there's rides there and other entertainment for kids too. It's not just all about the beer.
But it should be.
for
those large children like me. So yeah. it's quite a big thing for you guys. So you've been running for a couple of weeks now, and it finishes next Sunday. And I want to go back to these games because I'm quite taken by these games. So people have got an opportunity to come and eat and drink.
Yes.
And then they can win. And tell me what they can win.
We don't have any cover charge or anything. You just come in. When we booked out, unfortunately, you need to make a booking first to make sure you got your seat reserved.
Yep.
But once you're in, every evening, we have X amount of games and a bit of entertainment and all the rest of it, which I'm mostly part of. And if you win the game, you go into the grand prize draw, which is on Sunday the 13th, the closing party, which the winner of that draw gets two return tickets to Munich.
Well, that's not a bad thing to enter into, is it?
Not a bad prize at all, considering it costs you nothing and you have a good time.
And all you've got to do is eat and drink.
That's it. Simple as that.
It sounds like a very fine idea. So between now and the 13th of October, Chris, what are some of the events that people can get involved in? You said today's a family day and weekend's a family day. What else happens through the year? And it's not just beer, is it? It's schnapps.
Yeah, there's beers, there's schnapps. We have a huge array of schnapps, from sweet fruit schnapps through to the more lethal ones, which are the clear schnapps. Probably reserved for people who have a bit of experience with it. Not recommended to unless you understand them.
It can be quite the nasty thing to have an afternoon on the schnapps, can it not?
It can be, yes. Definitely want to control it.
Gets a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
So, Chris, people can find you in Market Lane, but where can they find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, look, we have a Facebook page, and we also have a web page, www.hofbrauhaus.com.au. Everything's pretty much self-explanatory from then. Feel free to give us a call or send us an email, and, we pretty much help you out with whatever we cater for, pretty much anything, functions, groups, or just rock in for a beer or...
Fantastic. And a very traditional German experience in the centre of Melbourne.
Pretty much as traditional as you're going to get. There is nothing not traditional here. We actually had a guest band here, very strong with my Austrian Bavarian culture.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask about, Umpa music.
Yeah, we had a guest band here, a seven-piece guest band here yesterday. We actually did a fantastic job. And, we obviously have two house bands as well. We have a brass band and an accordion singer and a drummer and all the rest of it, with also brass music. So we do, they're constantly keeping updated to what's going on in Munich. The music is also, and entertainment is also very traditional.
Fantastic. Well, that is Chris. He's from Hofbrauhaus. They are doing all sorts of events between now and the 13th of October to continually celebrate Oktoberfest. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for
good to talk to you.
All
my
right,
pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers. That's Chris. Yes, he is from Hofbrauhaus. You can get down there, Market Lane. Check them out on the interwebs. They have some fun stuff happening, of course, for Oktoberfest. It's a great time of the year to celebrate your love of beer. Very shortly, we hope to be talking to somebody from Pinotpalooza, which is happening right about now down at St Kilda Town Hall. It's a big day down there, so we will know more very shortly. In the meantime, some messages and a track. We've got a bit of the Gurge for you straight after these messages. It is currently 19 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
That's Regurgitator here on Joy 94.9. Drinking beer is awesome because we were, of course, talking all things Oktoberfest and beer with Chris from Hofbrauhaus. Very shortly, we'll be joined by Jess Ho, who's going to give us a bit of a live update from Pinotpalooza happening right here in Melbourne. It is currently 16 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. This is Cravings. You're with me, Pete Dillon. Now, we can't get Jess Ho just at the minute, so we're going to have another track because we need to keep you entertained right now through until 2 o'clock when the Escape Pod come in. This is Pete Dillon here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, and this is the John Butler Trio with Better Than.
Joy 94.9.
This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, where we are heading towards 12 minutes, or 11 minutes, I should say, to 2 o'clock. The Escape Pod are coming up shortly after 2 o'clock. They'll have a lovely journey for you to go on with them. In a couple of weeks, we'll be bringing you a nice big live outside broadcast that will involve Fender Bender, which is on after the Escape Pod. The Escape Pod itself and, of course, Cravings, we're all joining for a wonderful outside broadcast. There's lots of news coming about that, so stick with us. Also coming up in the next week or two, Malaysia Festival is on next weekend. That's at the Queen Victoria Market. And it's a lovely celebration of all things Malaysian. It's celebrating, of course, Malaysia Day, and it showcases authentic Malaysian food as well as dishes influenced by the Japanese, the Dutch, the Spanish and the Portuguese, all of whom have had a fairly strong influence in the formation of Malaysia. Adults and children alike can enjoy a taste of Malaysian culture and games with activities, including a game of Kongkak, henna art, sarong time, balloon making and cultural performances. There's also an amazing race competition and, of course, all the wonders that are beautiful Malaysian food. So that's on next weekend at the Queen Victoria Market. Speaking of next weekend, Pete Evans and Gavin Hunter will join me in the studio. They have Little Hunter, Gavin Baker is his name, not Gavin Hunter. They have a restaurant called Little Hunter, which is right here in Melbourne. They've opened a second venue called Bar Nacional. It's a tapas bar, and it's a nice, interesting departure for Pete Evans. So he and Gavin will be with me next week. And then in a couple of weeks' time, we'll feature some guests who are here from Melbourne Wine Week. Now, this is part of the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards. These are done in conjunction with the Royal Melbourne Agricultural Society. There are a couple of events happening, one of which is Uncorked. That'll happen in Collins Place. It's an opportunity for you to sip and savour over 300 medal and trophy-winning wines from this year's Royal Melbourne Wine Awards and the Regional Victoria Wine Shows. Plus, you get a nice little glass to take home. And all of that sort of stuff. It's Australia's biggest public tasting of award-winning wines, and both the Jimmy Watson and the first ever James Halliday trophies will be on tasting. So that's happening on the 25th of October, so that's in a couple of weeks' time as well, and that's all part of Royal Melbourne Wine Week, which is a very, very, very big week, Melbourne Wine Week. There's lots and lots happening in there, so from the 25th of October till the 1st of November, lots of opportunities for you to sip and sup and taste. It's a wonderful week of events. So you can pop that in your diary as well. Also coming up in Melbourne, lots and lots more happening on the food and wine scene. So stay tuned to this program because it's probably the most likely place where you're going to hear about all of that stuff. We're going to flick to another track, back with some messages. And then, of course, the guys from Escape Pod will make their way into the studio and no doubt we'll be having a lovely journey with them this afternoon. We're talking all things spring and summer, and I've tried to keep the music sort of in that theme as well. And I'm just wondering where we go next, because I think I might play a bit of where are we? Or a bit of Black Fingernails Red Wine, because it's what happens when you drink too much red wine. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I'm Pete Dillon. Whoops, we are having a wonderful time here this afternoon. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock.
Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Merci, Monsieur Gatte. Look, we're almost done for the day. It's time to get out and enjoy a bit of Oktoberfest and enjoy all that is happening, of course, across Melbourne. There is lots and lots on this weekend, so make sure you get out and enjoy it. I need to say some thank yous, of course. Thank you to Kathy Kogo joining me from Australian Organic. I had a really good discussion about all things organic and what you can do to bring some organics into your diet. Very delicious it all sounds, and it's also very good for you. And it's a great way to shop. It's a great philosophy to have in your life to buy things that aren't treated with hormones or that aren't genetically modified, that aren't mucked around with, and it takes us back to a very sensible way of eating. So do try and incorporate some of that into your diet if you can, or of course if you can afford to. Also, I need to say thank you to Chris from Hofbräuhaus, who took us through a wonderful exploration of all that is Oktoberfest. We do know that Oktoberfest is a great way to celebrate all things German, and it's happening right across Melbourne. Thanks to Mushin out on the front desk, who is doing a marvellous job out there in program support. Thank you also to the lovely team, Mark and his crew from Techno Gaze, and to Maka and to the team, including the lovely, lovely, lovely team of Saturday Magazine, who've done a marvellous job this morning. Beck, of course, who kicked us off with a couple of hours of terrific music, as she does every week. Good on you, Beck. Thank you for that. Coming up very shortly, the Escape Pod will take you on a journey somewhere in the world. I don't know where they're going today. I haven't had a chance to catch up with them. So good on the Escape Pod. Thank you to them. And, of course, after them, Fender Bender will be joining you. Don't forget, we'll be having an outside broadcast somewhere, I think it's the 18th, 2 weeks away. We'll be bringing you a lovely outside broadcast, which combines the team of Fender Bender, Cravings, and of course the team from Escape Pod. Until next week, when I'm here with Pete Evans and Gavin Baker, this has been Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's a very good afternoon to you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.